Chavches Iyar, Wednesday afternoon, Shahar Bitachon, Women's Shir. Chavches Iyar. Okay, we're learning Shahar Bitachon now, and we're going through the seven things in Perek Dalet that applied Bitachon, and we're up to number six. And we started number six, and number six, we'll start again in number six, and that we trust Hashem, we rely on Hashem that we will be rewarded for our efforts. Although, you know, again, the ultimate ideal is not to do things al manas lekabel pras, not even olam haba, but schar ba'onesh is one of the 13 animamins. So whether Hashem, let's assume the 13 animamins is like carved in stone. I'm not sure they are, it's the Rambam, but it's pretty, the Jewish people have accepted the 13 animamins as pretty much that's it. Those are the bottom line of articles of faith, we'll call it, that a Jew has to believe. Well, okay. So Schar Vonish is one of them. So the question is Hashem pandering to us and giving us a b'di'evid? Probably not. Probably it's a sophisticated understanding. It's not just a question of I'm a bad boy, I did something bad, I disobeyed Hashem. It's something bad, and it has consequences, and the consequences has its ramifications in this world and the next world. It's destructive to me. It puts me in a different place. It's not just I wasn't obedient, like, you know, you tell your kid to go to sleep and he doesn't go to sleep. It's you tell your kid to go to sleep and he doesn't go to sleep and he's tired the next day and he's kvetchy, and that's why he's chutzpahdik, and like a whole chain of events and a whole bunch of consequences. And then the punishment is, let's say he fails his test, you know, it's not a punishment, it's all a chain reaction. So probably in that sense we ought to understand Schar Va'onesh as one of the 13 animamins. It's hard for me to believe that it's one of the 13 animamins if it's just the carrot and the stick. On the other hand, we have Yiras Onesh. On the other hand, Yiras Onesh is sometimes described in very, you know, like at a very low level. On the other hand, even Aaron HaKoyen, it says, Vayidaber Hashem, Achrei Moshe Shnei B'nei Aaron, and Hashem was telling Aaron HaKoyen not to barge into the Kodesh Kodeshim whenever he wants to, B'zel Shevo Aaron Al HaKodesh, B'far Ben Bakar, and Rashi says, Achrei Moshe is like a doctor, you know, watch out, you don't want happening to you what happened to your children, Odom and Aviyu. So, you know, even Aaron HaKoyen can use a dose of Yiras Onesh, apparently. So, okay. Anyway, we're relying on Hashem. It's not ideal. The ultimate ideal is to serve Hashem because we want to do His will without any thought to even Olam Haba. Now, Olam Haba, again, doesn't have to be, on a sophisticated level, Olam Haba is how I've bonded with Hashem through doing His will. So it's a little more sophisticated than just I'm going to get first prize and my parents are going to buy me a bike, which is what he's going to talk about here. That's what we started learning this week. You know, he's talking about why the Torah doesn't talk about Olam Haba, because on a lower level it's just, you know, Olam Hazeh is like a lollipop. You know, you give a kid a lollipop, but on a very sophisticated level, Olam Haba is also, could be viewed as a lollipop, as a prize, but it's really not. Olam Haba is where your neshama is holding. So the schar is really also a natural outgrowth of your service of Hashem. But you have to believe in it, and you have to rely on Hashem. You're relying on Hashem. Sometimes people have different reactions to things that are bumpy in their lives. Sometimes they think Hashem is not fair. Sometimes they think, I deserve it, I'm a terrible person, which is also not healthy. The point is, I think. This is one of the seven things to apply bitachon to. We rely on Hashem to give us, if we did something good, it's not going to get lost. Hashem knows how to reward us when the consequences, I use consequences even in a good sense, when the consequences of this good deed should find expression. And there's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand why I have to go through this. I was on my way to do a mitzvah and I fell down and broke my leg. Right? The only good car I ever had was stolen. And I did such a big mitzvah with it. I took someone to the hospital and this and then it was stolen. So you can't help but think, oh, come on. Like, this is not supposed to happen. And I parked right in front of the hospital. I was so happy I found that parking spot. And it wasn't towed away. It was a parking area. You were allowed to park there. And it was stolen. Right in front of the hospital. I parked on the street. I came out. So Hashem is always, you know, amazing. Mom is amazing. And he said, that's all that's supposed to happen to you. Your car's supposed to get stolen. Because by some miraculous miracle, there was someone from Muncie in the hospital that I met. Like a nice galui. And he took me back home. Otherwise, like, I'm in the middle of Washington Heights. It was by, not Montefiore. It was a Columbia Presbyterian. And I'm like, how am I going to help? And like, I met someone from Muncie. He took me home. Like, Hashem said, you know, I just want your car to get stolen. You don't have to suffer all the other stuff. But it was the only good car I ever had. Hashem was teaching me a lesson. You're supposed to have yeshivish your cars. My father, Olav HaShalom, bought me a decent car. And after 6 months, it was stolen. That's it. You're not supposed to have a decent car. That's all. That was my lesson. But you say, like, how did that? So you rely on Hashem. He'll pay me if it was a mitzvah, to whatever degree it was a mitzvah, whether it was lishma, shalo lishma, whether I wanted a pat on the back or I wanted people to find out about it. That's all. Hashem keeps the calculator. Hashem has the cheshbon. And you have to, but this is important, you have to develop bitachon in this area. The Chayim Halavos is saying something of major import, just like we have to develop bitachon that Hashem's going to take care of me and give me the parnosa that I'm supposed to have, and Hashem's going to take care of me and give me the health I'm supposed to have, and Hashem loves me and Hashem cares about me. This is all bitachon. So part of that is, and that's only number six, number seven is going to be even more sophisticated in Ruchnius. But number six is, I'm relying on Hashem. No good deed will get lost. Hashem's keeping everything on account. He knows when, and therefore just like when a person's faced with not enough money, or Chas v'Shalom, not such good health, or events in a person's life. So it's time to, you know, bring out the bitachon. And say, Hashem knows what he's doing, and Hashem loves me, and Hashem cares about me, etc., 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 etc. So you have to do that with this also. You say, how could the car be stolen if I just did an unbelievable mitzvah with it? And then, don't worry, I'm relying on Hashem that He'll pay me back whatever I deserve. He'll give me the gemul for it. And this is an avoda, and it really is. It's an important avoda. I mean, it counts as one of the seven things, even though it's things that are really beyond our. We don't know the account. We can't keep cheshbon. We don't know. It's really a belief. To me, it's a chiddush. The belief has to be so strong. I guess everything in bitachon is based on belief. The belief has to be so strong that we can transfer, right? Every emuna in Hashem, emuna is the tree, bitachon is the fruit. So my emuna has to be so strong that I can transform it into bitachon. So that's true about the mitzvahs I do. My emuna in Olam Haba, my emuna in Schar Ba'onesh, my emuna that Hashem, what's the pasuk in Tilim? Ki atot shalem le'ish k'ma'aseihu. We say that's the end of the pasuk. I didn't quote the complete pasuk. We have to transform that emuna into bitachon. You see? And you feel better. Okay, I'm relying on Hashem. I'm relying on Hashem to give me the gemul that's coming to me in the right time when He deems it fit. And I'm calm. You see, always remember, bitachon is supposed to induce a state of serenity, calmness. I have a difficult life. Some people have very difficult lives. Some A lot of people have very difficult lives. We don't always see the difficult lives. Sometimes we're mekane people, and we maybe have to be careful of giving an ayin hara if you believe in ayin hara. If Yerushalmis don't believe so much in ayin hara. My father, Olav HaShalom, believed very strongly in ayin hara. And you have to be careful not to give someone an ayin hara. And besides, they have plenty of things you don't know about. That's what I learned as a rabbi. What? The plan, nobody's living on peaches and cream. And everybody has things going on in their lives. That's a major lesson I learned as a rabbi. Because people talk to me. And wow, everybody has something. And all the people that are mekane someone else, if they only knew what was going on in their lives, they wouldn't be mekane them so fast. Okay, I'm getting off the subject here. The point is, this is really an avoda, and it's an important avoda. And he makes it one of the seven things. I keep saying that because we have to develop a calmness and a serenity and a lack of stress. Hashem will pay. Hashem, there will be gemul. It doesn't all end in a black hole. It doesn't end in a black hole. It really, he's talking about Olam Hazeh too, but that we don't know. That we don't know, because sometimes Olam Hazeh doesn't work out. And we don't know, so maybe it's a kapara favera, so we can get the full-fledged schar in Olam Haba. So we don't really know. But either in Olam Hazeh or in Olam Haba, or Halavai in all of us, in both, unless you need a kapara favera, then I guess it's not appropriate to say Halavai. You rely on Hashem. He's going to do what's best for me. See, it's good old bitachon. He's going to do what's best for me. There's gmul b'olam hazeh b'levad. Certain mitzvahs have that. Gmul b'olam haba b'levad. V'yesh yiruim shneima ma'isa echad. V'leiporish lanu ber zebur heiti. We don't really know, although we do know some things are ochel adam ochel perosayim b'olam hazeh v'ken kemes lo li'olam haba. Ach ora v'apori la'amo gmul kolel la'masa kolel. V'lochilek ha'gmul al avodos ba'olam. We don't know exactly matching up mitzvahs with their gemul. We do know by averos, we know what's a more chomor de avera, because we know the onish. K'mosh ozu ba'onish al averos ba'olam. K'mosh apirish ha'maisim she'olsein chayov in skila. Sreifa herik b'chenek. Malkus arboam. Misa korei. Tashlumei kefal. Tashlumei abo b'chamisha. Nezek shor. Bor shein eish. Nezimum ba'odam. These are all things. Wudav. That's the shemra. So first of all, the gemul in Olam Hazeh for an assay is only written to the nation as a whole. That's what he talked about, bichlolo. That's what he meant, gemul kolel, amaisa kolel. In the Torah, you only find the matchup of gemul in Olam Hazeh to the nation. Geshem, shalom, famine, enough food. It's not talking, you know, the Torah is not talking about individuals, it's talking about the nation as a whole. So that's even the schar of Olam Hazeh, in Olam Hazeh for mitzvahs. The onesh of averos, we know on a personal level, because it's reflected by the onshim that the Torah assigned to each one. The schar for an asay, we don't know. In Olam Hazeh, we don't even know it on an individual level, he says. We only know it on a national level. And in Olam Haba, we don't know it at all. Nothing. You can go through the whole Torah, you don't know it as an Olam Haba. Yeah, a little hint here and there. Mayhem, here are the reasons. The first of all, we don't grasp what it means. I guess I started too early. We really got much further last week than I realized. Kitzuras HaNefesh. So number one, I'm not going to read the words again then. Number one is we don't really grasp what it means to have a nefesh without a guf, and we don't grasp spiritual pleasures, and we have no concept of it, so what's the Torah going to talk a language that nobody understands? Number two was, it was poshut. In other words, it was so part of their Kabbalah, and part of the Masoris from the Nevi'im, and part of what they were taught in school, so they didn't have to speak it out. They had a Masoris that it's true, and they were relied on that Masoris. Number three is the mashal with a child, that, you know, that just like you can't start with a child and say, you know, you gotta do what's right. You know, you gotta start with a child by offering him a bike or a lollipop. So here also, the nation at the time that the Torah was written, so to speak, this is the Chavis Halavis's outlook, is that they were, he doesn't talk about them as Dordea, a Dor of Nevuah, a Dor of a very, very high Madrega. Chavis Halavis does not speak of the Dor Midbar that way. At least at the time of Matan Torah. Could be they steiged a lot over 40 years. But at the time of Matan Torah, he doesn't speak of them that way. And he says, so then what are you going to talk about Olam Haba? Like, they're not holding there. You got to talk about rain and food and shalom. And then he'll understand, just like you're not going to talk to a child. And as the child gets older and more mature, you're going to introduce the idea of doing what's right because it's right. And doing what's right because it's good. And it's good to do what's right. And it's, it'll make you feel good if you do the right thing, and you'll grow as a person. You start talking to the child, you know, as he grows up, hopefully. So here also, what was written in the Torah is kid stuff. It's on level of lollipop, bicycle. I'll let you stay up if you get a good mark on the test. That's reason number three. Okay, we'll start from reason number four, which starts with the words, "Umehem shegemul ha'olam haba ein adam roi lo b'maseo atov b'levad ach yiyeh roi min elokim b'shnei dvarim achar ha'mais atov." This is a big yesod of the Chavis Halavis that's going to be hard to swallow. I always give that hakdama. A lot of things are hard to swallow, Chavis Halavis. This is something that is almost, he alludes to it throughout the Sefer, and he throws down the gauntlet and says it explicitly here. And that is that we never really deserve Olam Haba. A person, because we start, and I would say the Chavis Halavis is l'shitoso, because it's not just a question of keeping the mitzvahs. We say, well, if I'm perfect and I don't do any avers, I keep the mitzvahs. But there's so much in Chavis Halavis, because he holds that's the ikker. So, just to feel gratitude has to be everything that something's based on. So, like, by the time you start off life, you probably start off at least 10 years or 9 months behind, because you have to be grateful for what Hashem gave you. So you right away start off, like, how can you ever catch up, almost. That's my interpretation of Chavis Halavis being l'shitoso. Because since it's all based on gratitude, how can we ever be grateful enough? We're always catching up. We're always playing catch up. But his yesod is that we don't, that the Nevi'im did not talk about Olam Haba because really we don't deserve it. It's like, so how do you get it? And what he means, we have to rely on Hashem that'll give it to us. So why, if I don't remember what's going on? So he says there's two ways. We're going to learn it inside in a moment. It's famous Chavis Halavis. I say it over very often. One is, it's Chesed Hashem. If we do our best and we try and we perfect ourselves as much as we're able to, so commensurate with that, Hashem will give us the Gemul of Olam Haba, and you can put that in the bank. You can rely on that. It's a subject for Bitachon, you can rely on it. But it's chesed. And it's talked about this in the past, that Hashem didn't have to make the world that way. That gufa is a chesed. It's an amazing combination of deserving gemul, which is really the Ramchal's whole perspective on life, that we, it's the biggest chesed of all is that we earn what we get. It's not nahamot dekisufa, as it's called. It's not embarrassing. It's not a freebie. We deserve it. That's on one end of the stick. We never really deserve it. We deserve it. We do up to a degree. But we can never really, ultimately, really deserve it. So it's chesed Hashem. But we earn the chesed. We earn the chesed by being good, by trying our best, by doing our best. So you earn the chesed. So that's number one. Again, you can't catch up, because then you have to be grateful for that chesed. You don't have to be so grateful, so to speak. You have to be grateful for being created. But if you really, really, really earned what you get, you know, you don't feel grateful. You know, the boss gives you a check. You know, you say thank you, and you're supposed to have a karas hatov, but I earned it. You know, I earned it. I worked very hard, and I earned it. But with Hashem, you always have what to feel grateful for, because you never really deserve it. You deserve to get chesed. That's the system that Hashem devised. You deserve to get chesed, and then that becomes again a subject for gratitude. So you have to be grateful for that. The other thing the Chavis Havada says is, if you inspire others, if you teach others, if you makarim others, whatever word, because then your schusim increase exponentially. And maybe you can't make it if it's just you, but if you inspire someone and they teach their children, and that their children teach their children, so now it accumulates. You have all the schusim of all those people. To your credit, you get up to Shemayim, you say, I didn't do any of this. I'm sorry. I'd love to have all these chusim, but I don't remember ever doing kach v'kach. And Hashem says, that's not how my books work. You get the credit for this, because 40 years ago, you taught a class, and the kid was inspired, the person there sitting there was inspired, and this happened, and Hashem knows, right? Hashem knows the connection. So I know that this happened because that person was inspired. So the more we are mezakeh the rabbim, the more we will deserve. We will taka deserve it, because it's as I said again, it's increasing exponentially. It's not arithmetically. Is that the other word? It's not addition. It's not addition. It's multiplication. It's not. In other words, if I did a mitzvah every second of my life, the Chavis Halavas holds, I will never deserve. I still won't deserve it. I'll deserve chesed, but I won't deserve mamish deserve. But if in many of those seconds, or in some of those seconds, maybe we don't know what he account, if we inspire others, then I did much more than just what I'm able to do in that second. I did something that has a ripple effect on 1,000 people, and that all goes to my credit. So then you have a fighting chance. So here's what he says. So again, umehem, one of the reasons Hashem doesn't talk about Olam Haba, or the Tanakh doesn't talk about it. There are a few places where it's hinted at, he says, where it's hinted at, but basically it doesn't talk about it. Shekemul Olam Haba ein adam roi lo b'maseu atol b'levad. He'll get it b'shnei dvarim achar ha'maisa tov. After you do good things every minute of your life, so then you'll get it, and you'll get it only in one of two ways. You teach them the anhi game. It's not always teaching. Sometimes it's unpleasant. Sometimes you have to give musar. Sometimes you have to know what to do. We had in another place, we had in Shach Cheshbon HaNefesh, I think 2 Cheshbonos ago, where the Chavis Halavas himself spoke out that you have to be very clever in giving musar, and you have to know how to get the person to be makabel what you're telling them, and it's a whole chachma how to give tochacha. Anyway, so it's teaching, it's giving tochacha, the anhigim lasos hatov, kmosha kosev, matzdike harabim. We're about to learn that. This Shabbos, we're learning that in Daniel. Matzdikei harabim kakochavim li'olam v'ed. That's the last parak in Daniel. I only know that because I give the shir. Otherwise, I wouldn't know it. Matzdikei harabim kakochavim li'olam v'ed. It's like stars. And one of the pshat is that the light of the stars doesn't reach us for who knows. Some stars' light don't reach us for hundreds of thousands of years. And the question is, okay, we all know the question, but the teretz is Hashem put them in place, and you know, they're already on their way to Earth when the world was created. The light, the light rays. Anyway, but they're kakochavim, meaning sometimes you don't see the schusim. They're accumulating. You don't see all the stars. You don't see their light for thousands of the years. And the Omar v'lamochichem yinom v'aleim tovol birkas tov, the pasuk in Mishlei. Okay, v'chashe yiskabe islamishtadel gemul hatzokoso. So if you add the schus that he was goyim to others, el gemul tzitkoso, to his personal tzitkus, u'gemul amunos libo v'sivlo, then perhaps, obviously, Yeroi Legmul Olam Haboi Tzlabori. So that's number one. He puts that as number one. V'Hashemi Chesed Me'elokim. That's what I said first. It's a Chesed Me'Hashem U'Nedova V'Tova This pasuk is a puzzle to everyone who learns it. If you're being mishalim leish kemaaseihu, if you're giving people what they deserve, so why do you start off saying ulucha Hashem chesed? What's the chesed? What's chesed? Hashem giving me what I deserve. I earned it. I deserve it. Yeah, because we really don't. So we earn the chesed. That's the ultimate concept. And then he says, "Va'ila b'zeh." The reason, ila is his word for reason. Ki imhoya ma'isa ha'odim kachol hayom b'mispar. Even if a person's good deeds would be kachol hayom, lo yishakol, you can't match it up. Afilu keneged betova achas min tovas haborius baruch halam olam azeh. Remember the system of the chayvus halvavus. Is that it's not just a question of thanking Hashem and feeling gratitude, but the mitzvahs and our chiyuv to do mitzvahs and our obligation to serve Hashem is all predicated upon gratitude, and the mitzvahs we do are a way of saying thank you. The obligation to do mitzvahs is the obligation of Makaras HaTov. This is how Hashem wants us to say thank you, to acknowledge Him, and to be submissive to His will, and that's the way we say thank you. So he says, if you start, you know, Ilufinu Moleshiva Kayom, this is Sasenu Shevach, Kemechave Ragia, Vainiris Hashem, Enanachra Maspikim, so you say that, and you say, so, you know, Bekoshkein Shahadavar, so even if you did only good, you wouldn't be up to the Madrega, you wouldn't be able to thank Hashem. And thanking Hashem means also by doing mitzvahs, doing enough mitzvahs that it's a proper thank you. Oh boy. Remember the premise. And then he says, and like if you were chote, forget about it. He really says it. That's what he's talking about. If Hashem is medaktek with how we have to express Hakaras HaTov, which is what all of our mitzvahs are based on. And so if Hashem is like Makpid, there's a time clock punching, you call Ma'aseyu Nikad V'Nishka B'Ketana Shebetov V'Sabori Yomov. How much is it worth to exist? How many years of good deeds is a proper thank you for the fact that we exist? A lot, right? Maybe the whole lifetime. Before my daughter got engaged, if someone would have said, this is the person that's going to read the shidduch and your daughter's going to get engaged, but he's not telling you the boy's name, but he's it's a Leonovi. He's not telling you how much atchana is he ready to give. So probably 20 times more than I am going to give. But if you say beforehand, how much are you ready? A lot of money. Baruch Hashem, we don't have to give. Baruch Hashem, but the din, you don't have to give what it was worth to you before it happened. It was worth to you before it happened. I once had someone in the shul was putting up a fuss about shadchanus. So I told him this point. I say, come on, we're talking about, you know, it's not that much shadchanus. I said, just imagine what you would have paid if the person said, give me enough money and I'll tell you the name of the chassan. Right? So imagine, right? So what are you fetching now for? I mean, you're entitled to kvetch if the person is charging you, let's say, more than the going rate. That's halachos about that, just like there's halachos about everything. But the point is, that's what the Chacham Lovos is saying. You can never do enough, because mitzvahs are thank you. Now I'm speaking it, I don't even think he says it. How can I thank Hashem for the fact that I exist? 30 years of mitzvahs. Maybe a lifetime of mitzvahs is just enough to say thank you for the fact that I exist. And then if you remember Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, after we talk about existing, we talk about that I'm a human being. That skips over a few steps, because I could have been a rock, and I could have been a plant, and I could have been an animal. and I could have been a person, and I'm Jewish, I'm living in Eretz Yisrael. Like, till you start your life off, and you go through all of your biology, and you go through all of your history, and the very fact that you're around, and your lungs are working, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, how many years of doing mitzvahs is a proper thank you for the fact that your lungs work? Right? This is for existence. You just start off with that sentence and finish. I think we're finished. That's the whole lifetime. A lifetime of doing mitzvahs is not enough of a thank you for the fact that we exist. That's what he says. He says you can't. If you're dacting aborim other, but again, this is predicated on the Chazit Halevis's worldview that mitzvahs is thank you, is gratitude, and all the avodas Hashem is based on that, and therefore the gemul is based on that, and therefore he says, we can't. We can never deserve olam haba because we never said enough thank you. It's not possible. And that's what we say in Nishmas, Ilufina Malashiva Kayom, etc., etc., etc. And Anachnu must speak in the Hosul Chashem Elokeinu Vokeinu Vosenu Alachas. May all the fellow Allah from Rebay Revobos by Mehmet Avosho see some of the Sainu Vimonu, because you have to thank Hashem. How many people thank Hashem for giving us Mon in the Midbar? I say Pashas Mon every day, but I'm doing it as a Segula for Parnosa. I forget that it's a thank you also, right? You have to thank Hashem for the Mon, take us out of Mitzrayim. So once a year, or maybe twice a day, if you're really good. But how many people are thankful? Have a mitzvah to be talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. You have to thankful he took us into Eretz Yisrael. Thankful he gave us Eretz Yisrael. Thankful he let us build a base on Mikdash. You have to be thankful for history. Also, is my point. Do I remember to be thankful that my father, Olam Hashalom, got out of Europe, and that he got out of Europe? A lot of people didn't get out of Europe. And he got out, right? And he met my mother, and I was born. I have to thank Hashem for that. That's why we say, Alachas me'el v'alfi yalom v'ribay revavos v'mimet tevosho shosisim avolseinu v'imonu. Avolseinu doesn't mean Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, which, by the way, do we ever thank Hashem for what he did for Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? Avolseinu means your history, your story, your the story of your life. So how can you catch up? You know, you say it this way, you say, oh my goodness, well, this has a very good point. I never thought about that. Yikes. The midaktik, if Hashem really wants to, you know, make a, what's it called in Eretz Yisrael, a deep audit. If he really wants to make a omek, something with when they audit you, a deep one, you call ma'aseu nikhat. Boom, all your good deeds have been used up already once you exist. Vinishka, the Ketano, in the smallest of Tovos that Hashem did, whatever small is, right? How many times do you have to say thank you for the kidney that works, for the thyroid gland that works, for the brains that work? I mean, it's endless. Umashiyya Magmul Habore Lo Enu Magilo Al Maasehu. Oh boy. Elohu Mechesed Habore Olav. So everything is Chesed. And remember, then you have to thank Hashem for that Chesed. Like, even if you would realize that you can't catch up, then you have to start thanking Hashem for the Chesed that He's giving you, even though you didn't catch up. Acha Onesh B'Shneiha Olamim, unfortunately, Hu Be'emes Uvedin. See, this is really all included in Rashi's statement in the beginning of Bereishis, that if Hashem would have created the world with Midos Hadin, the world couldn't have existed. Because mankind would never fulfill its obligation in Avodas Hashem. So again, you say that, so you say, oh, because they talk Lashon Hara and they do bad things. But in the Chavis Halodos' world, you only have to say they can never thank Hashem enough. They can never acknowledge Hashem's beneficence enough. They can never catch up.
I can't understand that. I never understood why Hashem would create two beings that are incompatible. He created a world that was perfect, and created man that was so imperfect that he couldn't exist
right
in the world the way it was.
Excellent question, and I'm going to give you now an excellent answer. So that a person should always feel dependent on Hashem. So that a person, because kochi votsim yodi, and patting yourself on the back, is not only true if you have a nice big fat bank account in the bank, but it's in spiritual endeavors also. And Hashem, it's a chesed of Hashem, a chesed, that He created a world that you need His chesed, so that you will always feel utterly dependent on Hashem. You're dependent on Hashem for your Olam Haba. You can never say, I deserve it, and where do I go pick up my check? It's always a chesed. Imagine a person works for a boss for a week, and he goes to collect his weekly check, and it's set up that you can never fulfill the job description. So every week you're walking over to cashier's window, and you're shaking. Is the boss going to show me chesed this week and give me the check that I need to live? And when he does, you feel thankful. And Hashem create. You're right. Hashem could have made a world. Let's say when you learn Ramchal, Hashem could have made a pure Ramchal world. You get what you deserve. And but it's, we're taking there's a larger picture here. L'chora, at least according to the Chayvus Halvavos, Ramchal doesn't talk in that vein. So. There's no machlokas. I'm not trying to make a machlokas out of it. I'm trying to say there's a part of the picture and a fuller picture. The answer to your question is so that we should always feel, it's not just the farmer that always has to feel utterly dependent on Hashem. It's also the person that goes into the makolas and goes over to the shelf that it says on top, you know, green beans. So he goes over and the green beans on the shelf. That person also has to feel utterly dependent on Hashem. And when you go to the cashier to pay and you have a wallet in your pocket or in your purse and you have money in it, you're dependent on Hashem for that. It's not that it's there. Now I don't need Hashem. I don't need Hashem anymore. I have money in my wallet. That's wrong. For spiritual pursuits, it's also that way. That's the point of I have to have bitachon, I have to rely on Hashem to give me things. And in this number 6 in Shara Bitachon, Perek Dalet, this comes out that we're always utterly dependent on Hashem, because that's the reality. It's reality, because if the world would ever, if it would be the other way, it would be too hard. This is my opinion now. It would be too hard to understand Hashem Echad, because it would mean that something could independently be without Hashem holding the strings. And that can't be. So I'm not even sure, if you understand what I'm saying, if Hashem, sort of like you're saying, Hashem can't pick a rock that he can't make a rock that he can't pick up. I'm not sure Hashem could have made a world which would be pure din. Because then I would deserve it, and then I would become independent. At that moment of earning, I would be independent of Hashem. Okay, so you say I'm always dependent because he doesn't really have to give me the money. Right? The boss has to give me the money. Hashem doesn't have to do anything. But the system is, I would say, almost brilliant. But it's probably sacrilegious to talk that way about Hashem. It's so much more than brilliant. It's no matter what I do, it's like a person, you know, I jog, I eat only healthy food, and I jog, and I work out, and I watch my health, and blah, 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 blah. But and you say, Rufeinu Hashem v'nei Rufe, and if you stop to think for a second that you're going to be healthy because you jog every day and you eat only healthy foods, then it's very sad. Hashem might, chas v'shalom, decide to teach you a lesson. I'm always dependent on Hashem no matter what you do, and that's wonderful for a human being, and that's the way he was supposed to live. So Hashem set up a system that even in Ruchnius we will always have this. So you say I'm nervous, that's not fair, that means I have to go through life nervous. So the answer is, just like you're not supposed to, now we're coming full circle, just like you're not supposed to go through life nervous because you have bitachon. And bitachon means not to be nervous, because we're relying on Hashem, and Hashem's going to do what's right, and Hashem's going to do chesed, and Hashem loves us, and Hashem cares about us more than anybody else in the world, anything else in the world. So I could be calm, and that's the Chavis Halavos' definition of bitachon, getting back to the beginning of the Shar. So it's the same in Ruchnius. Don't be scared. Don't worry. Worry enough that you'll be mafashrish b'ma'asah, then you'll try to improve yourself in case you're doing things wrong. But don't worry. Have bitachon. Number 6. Hashem will give you, will give you chesed, and he'll give you things even if you don't deserve it. That's part of the system. That's what we're learning. So Hashem will do it. be rest assured that Hashem will give you Gemul and Olam Haba, even though you've never caught up and you're always behind the eight ball, and even if you stumbled and fell, but you picked yourself up and you tried your best, the things we learned already in the past. But we have always thought of it as applying to my health and my wealth and my relationships, etc. And now we're learning in number six of this list of seven things that it applies to Olam Haba and Ruchnius. I don't, as you say, that's a person can become schizophrenic. Yeah, a human being has to be schizophrenic. Hashem wants hishtadlus and bitachon. That's it. That's the life we have to live. It's not easy. I mean, it helps a little. When it's this class, helps a little, maybe. It helps me, that's for sure. I don't know about you ladies, but it helps me. Yeah, that's the life we live. We do our best. We do what Hashem tells us to do. But we always have to remember that we're totally dependent on Him. And we're only doing these things because He told us to do them. And we're relying on His chesed. We're relying on His chesed. But He'll do it. He'll do it. He says He'll do it, and He will do it. Okay, so getting back to the list, says the reason Olam Haba is not mentioned in the Torah is because it's extra credit. The whole, he says, number one is we have no concept of the nefesh b'li haguf, so what are you going to tell us about Olam Haba for? Number two was that it was so ingrained in them, in the Masorah, that there was no need to write it anywhere. That's number two. Number three was we're dealing with babies, and you're not going to talk to them about you're going to become a good person, and you're going to become a role model for your children. You don't talk like that to a six-year-old. Six-year-old you have to offer candy to. So B'nai Yisrael needed that level when the Torah was given, and that's the level it was written on. That was reason number three. And number four is that it's kind of inappropriate to write it because it's never really true. It's never true on a scale because we never really deserve Olam Haba. And the only way you will deserve it is by A, either increasing your chusim exponentially, or B, just accept the Tovah, sit back and enjoy Hashem's chesed. And this pasuk has puzzled almost all the mefarshim. Unuchah Hashem chesed katat shalem leish kama asehu. And now in the Chavis HaLovers we can just read the pasuk and smile. We know exactly what the pasuk is saying. Because the question on the pasuk is, wait a second. If you're mishalom lish kama asehu, where's the chesed? Right? That's the inherent difficulty in this pasuk. But according to the Chavis HaLovers, it's like very kishmak, right? Oh, well, chashem chesed, yetal shem lish kama asehu. I understand this pasuk because I learned Chavis HaLovers. And it's always chesed. Okay. And he says it's impossible. Vimitat gabore. You asked a very good question, Mrs. Zabrowski, but that's the answer. The answer is that it's really the way a Jew is supposed to work on it, feeling always utterly dependent on Hashem, even in the Ruchnius. This chesed is not just in the next world, it's also in this world. Okay, we'll stop here, and I'm afraid next week, unless you want to make up to learn on Shavuos, next week's Wednesday, Shavuos, so we won't learn, so we'll meet again in 2 weeks.